'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
Thank you.
the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought away. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. The treasure you found. seek first the kingdom and its treasure. Everything else will be added, all that I need. I know the Lord will provide, 'cause I know my God's not empty handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else will be added, all that I'm needing. I know the Lord will provide, 'cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it, my Father has it. Look at the flowers and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. I'm Roberto. We are so glad you're here. You are a blessing to us, and we want you to feel God's love today. I want to bring attention to the bulletin in your hand. In that bulletin, you will find the songs, you will find the sermon, and in the back page, you'll see what's coming up, what we have going on this week. But I want to bring attention to the connection card that you have in your hand, that's in the bulletin. We'd like to recognize your presence here with us today, so if you could take a moment and fill that out. I promise we do not sell that information to anybody that stays in-house. And if you need prayer, our staff prays over all your prayers. So I'd like to welcome everybody that's online. You can find the connection card in the bulletin. If you swipe up or scroll down, and you'll find two buttons, one that says connection card and one that says bulletin. You can do this at home as well, by the way, if you want to join us on the beach. Let's rise and let's get ready to worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us mercy, grace. Thank you for that love that abounds. Thank you for gathering us here today for the sole purpose of worshiping you. We are so grateful that you are here amongst us and that the love story, which is the Bible, will be presented here today. Thank you for loving us that much that you gave your only son so that we would never be apart. We love you and thank you, and we are blessed by you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You'll find the lyrics to this song inside the first page. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Sing that again. Come on. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing along. So remember, so remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. Your for that grace, huh? And his love, where would we be? I know we all have moments in our lives where we went the other way and he chased us down. He showed us his love and his mercy and that amazing grace. It's endless. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I'll first believe. My chains are
fantastic worship. Amen? Amen. Be seated. Good to see you. We're not in the house today, but good to see you in the house. Glad to have you with us this morning. Happy Thanksgiving. In case I get wound up and forget to tell you that. So, we got that out of the way. Hey, I don't want to scare anybody, but Christmas is right on top of us. So today, we're bringing to an end our study in Genesis. This will be the last message as we close out that study and all the family drama we've been looking at, all the dysfunction of some of these families at the very beginning. And today we finish it, but as happens often with God's stories, there is a happy ending. And so next week we will begin our Advent series as we prepare for the celebration of Christmas. But it's good to have you with us this morning. We're in Genesis chapter 45. My name's Steve. I'm Director of Ministries here at Hope, and It's my privilege to bring you this word this morning. It's an interesting story, one that perhaps you have experienced in your own life, at least the beginning of it. So I want us to jump right in because there's a lot to cover. We're going to read the first four verses to kind of set the scene for what's happening here. Joseph, you know, has been through a bunch of challenges in his life. He has had all sorts of trouble. And he finds himself in our story today as the head of Egypt. He's come through all the hardship, and he's Pharaoh's right-hand man. And he is running the show for the entire known world. And his brothers have come from Israel to Egypt to get food. They're 2 years into the famine that Joseph predicted. And so they need food. So they have come to Egypt. They had no idea they'd be standing by their brother, that they'd be standing in front of the head of Egypt, only to discover it's their brother. The brother they sold. Remember that? And the brother they went home and told dad was dead. Even produced bloody garments to show dad he was dead. And here he stands. They don't recognize him. That's where we pick it up. In Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." Now I want to set the scene. I want you to picture this. You're a family of brothers, and you have come to represent your family back home, hoping to bring back enough food to survive the famine. You're here on behalf of the rest of your family. You have no idea what you're facing, and they usher you into this great hall, and this man in all sorts of fancy regalia is seated there, and you come before him asking for food. And Joseph, knowing this, these are my brothers, can't contain himself anymore. He just can't hold it back. But he knows he's going. You ever had those moments where you know you're about to lose it emotionally? You know, where you just can feel it welling up, and you know, and Joseph knew that. He had this feeling coming on him, and so he didn't want to melt down in front of everyone who served him, and so he clears the room. Everybody out. And the room, it's just him and his brothers. Now his brothers are full of fear. They are afraid. They don't know if they're going to get food, if they're going to be killed. They don't know why this guy just cleared the room. They don't know if it's going to get bloody, messy. They don't know what they're up against. And they're fearful. They're making assumptions. This isn't going to go well. He just cleared the room. And they begin to make assumptions. And they hear Joseph say, "Hi, I'm Joseph. Remember me? The brother, yes, sold. You remember me?" And this is where in the background Toby Keith is singing, "How Do You Like Me Now?" I'm Joseph. They can't even speak. They combination of scared to death, combination of their sin has just now been revealed. Wouldn't that scare us? If we're in a public forum and somebody is about to call us out for a sin we have committed against them, our ugly part of our life is about to get thrown into the middle of the room. We don't want to be there. We don't want to go through that. These guys are shaking in their boots. They don't know what to do. And then Joseph begins crying. And he's just not sniffling, not pulling out a handkerchief. He is wailing. He is weeping so loud, the Bible says the Egyptians could hear him. Pharaoh's house could hear him. He is weeping, wailing, losing it in front of his brother. Why? Why would he be crying so hard? My personal thought, he's weeping over the years of separation. When someone opens their heart to Christ, when someone recognizes God's mercy is being poured upon them, they often, as they open their hearts and believe in God's grace and mercy, when they have that experience, many times, we weep, don't we? Because we realize we've been separated. And because of God's grace, we've been brought together. Joseph is weeping. You see, let's look at number one. Sin and guilt make us fearful. When we're confronted with sin, when we begin to feel guilt in our life, we then begin to be afraid. That's why the Bible tells us that most sin is committed in the dark. We don't like our sin brought to light. We don't want the ugly part of our lives exposed because we're fearful. Sin, guilt, scare us. But here's a beautiful thing. Here's what the brothers are about to experience. Pictured in Joseph and his reaction to them. Look at point A. God loves us even in our sin. The Bible says there's no fear in love. You need to recognize this morning, if you are struggling with sin, struggling with guilt in your life, if you're hurting over some shortcoming in your life, you need to know God loves you anyway. He loves you still. He loves you in spite of where you sit today. He loves you. You don't have to be afraid. I've seen billboards in the last several years. In my travels out on the highway, you'll find every now and then I'll see a billboard that some organization has put up, and it says, God is not mad at you. And I chuckle every time I come past that billboard, because I think that is so true. So many people caught up in their sin, in the guilt of where they are, they feel like God's mad at them. We get a good parking spot at Walmart, and we think to ourselves, wow, what did I do to deserve this? Or you wake up with a zit right in the middle of your face, and you want to know why God is punishing you. It's Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to have all kinds of family pictures taken, and I've got this thing right here. What did I do to deserve that? Beloved, I've got some great news for you. That's not how God works. That isn't it. He's paid the price for our sin. He's covered them all with His blood. And He loves us, even in the midst of our sin. Listen to Romans chapter 5. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And B, He desires us to come close. The brothers don't know what to do with this man who's obviously in charge. And they don't know what to do with his weeping. They don't know what any of this means. And Joseph says to his brothers, come close. He can sense they don't really know him. So he says, come close. And you may be here today, and you may be in your heart afraid of God. You may have ignored Him all your life. You may have left Him out of your life. And you dread ever coming face to face with Him. Death scares you. Because I do have another promise for you. You will face Him when that day comes. There's no escaping it. There's no passing on judgment. We will stand before God. The best thing we can do is stand before Him as children. Stand before Him as one that has received His grace and His mercy. One that is clothed in His righteousness. Because then there's no judgment. There's no decision to be made. There's just Christ to usher me in to my eternal home. You don't have to be afraid today. These brothers didn't have to be afraid. Joseph was saying to them, come close. It's me. It's Joseph. God wants us to come close to Him. Look at our memory verse. It's Matthew 11, 28. Let's say it together. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God calls you to come close. Joseph told his brothers to come close. And then in verse 5, he says this, "Now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and ruler of over all the land of Egypt." Number 2, Joseph recognized God's favor and purpose in his life. Now, this is a man who was taken from his home as a youngster, brought to Egypt as a captive, put in the service of Pharaoh, and became one of his lead men, one of his most trusted leaders, only to have Pharaoh's wife continually try to seduce him. The Bible says what I love about Joseph in describing him. The Bible says he was built and good looking. It's like looking in the mirror. Joseph was a good looking guy. He's a young man. And Pharaoh's wife is trying her best to seduce him time after time, day after day. One day it became so intense that Joseph finally had to run out of the palace. And she grabbed at him and tore his cloak off of him. And when she saw that's all she had, out of fear of being found out, she decided to tell her dear hubby, who she obviously loved beyond words, that Joseph tried to seduce me. Look, he left this. And Joseph goes to prison. Joseph was sold by his own brothers into slavery. Joseph was once thrown into a pit until the slave owners came by. Joseph was accused of things he didn't do, rejected by his own brothers, taken from his homeland. Joseph was forgotten in prison. And through all of that, he never once turned on God. Have you? Have you ever had a moment in your life when life didn't go the way you wanted to go to? You wanted it to go, and you all of a sudden turned on the Lord. You got a root of bitterness in your heart. You began to not trust God. You began to wonder why he was doing this to you, and you and God began to drift apart because you didn't like the way things were going. Have you ever turned on the Lord? Joseph never did. And you know what else? There's no evidence in the scripture anywhere that Joseph ever turned on his brother. The Bible says that they hated him because he was bragging when he was a young, naive kid about having his fancy coat. He told them dreams about how all the sheaves in the field bowed to his sheaf, how all the stars, sun, and moon bowed to him. He was 17. He was a young, innocent, naive kid having these dreams. And like any other brother, he's gonna brag to his brother. And they sold it. But never once did Joseph turn on his brother. That's why he's weeping. Because he's finally reunited with his brothers. Can you imagine how much time in prison? How many times he was fearing for his life over Pharaoh's wife's rumor? Can you imagine how many times in the pit waiting to be sold that his thoughts turned toward home? How many times he couldn't understand his brother's treatment of him? He didn't understand why Potiphar's wife was treating him like she was. He couldn't understand why he was one day the Pharaoh's right hand and the next day forgotten in prison. How many times did he think about home? And now they stand before him. And he's weeping. He never turned on the Lord. He had no bitterness, no grudge. He wasn't angry with his brother. God is not angry with you. Even if you've turned your back on him, even if you have chosen up to this point in your life to not allow him in your life, even if your heart is closed to him, it's the mission of Hope on the Beach Church to open the hearts of every man, every day, everywhere. That's why we're here. And the greatest joy we could know is that today you open your heart to the grace and mercy that God offers in Jesus Christ. No grudge. No anger, no bitterness. Just recognize God's love. Hear his call. Open your heart to his grace and his mercy. You simply have to believe today. That's all. You notice Joseph didn't tell his brothers, "Guys, because of everything you've done, I've got a lot of food. But before you can have it, here's what you got to do." He didn't give a bunch of hoops to jump through. He didn't hold Pharaoh's ring out for them to kiss it. He didn't ask them to return the favor. He didn't ask for anything from his brothers. God's grace and mercy works the same way. Just like Joseph, it's unconditional. Joseph didn't ask his brothers for anything. He just recognized God's favor. You see, point A, God sent Jesus to redeem us. You know this passage of Scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." We've been given unconditional grace through Christ. I've got more good news. You may be here today and you think that what you've done is unforgivable. You may be thinking to yourself, "Steve-O, you don't know what I've done." Well, here's a bullet, and you can worry about this for all you want. You don't know what I've done. That's not what we're here for. We're not asked to compare our sins. We're not asked to decide which one of us is better than the other, because we are all sinners before God. We're all equal. We are broken people that need to be redeemed through God's grace and mercy. So take the pressure off. Just recognize, accept it. Know who you are. I am broken. I am a sinner. And I need to be redeemed. I need God's grace and mercy. And it's unconditional. There isn't a single thing you could confess this morning that this blood of Christ won't cover. Nada. You're completely covered in Christ. It's unconditional. See, Joseph extends the same grace to his brothers. He gave the same grace to his brothers. It was unconditional. He didn't give them a list of, now go out there and do these things and then you can have some food. No, he says this in verse 9. Hurry, go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God's made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Letter D, Joseph trusted his brothers to share his story. The brothers who turned on him, the brothers who now stood before him begging for food, he trusts them. He has given them forgiveness. And he asked them, now take my story to our father. And I want you to bring him down here. Let me provide for you. I've got it all. Listen, that's what God offers you. Receive. Believe. Believe what God has done for you. Open your heart. Because God has the richness of his blessing waiting for you. He said, I will supply all your needs through my riches in Christ Jesus. It's all available. You see, letter E, Christ has trusted us to share his story. It's put upon us to make sure people hear about God's favor and what he has done for us. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know the Bible from front cover to back. You just need to be able to tell someone what Christ has done for you. Speak of the change he has brought in your life. Matthew 28 tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember that happy ending I promised you? Verse 14, then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. You see, there is forgiveness. There's hugging and kissing, followed by fellowship. You see, forgiveness opens the door for us to be one with Christ. He gives the forgiveness so we can be one with Him. He waits to welcome you. In fact, in number three, Joseph affirms his forgiveness to all his brothers. Hey, God has given and affirmed His forgiveness for our sin. He affirms it over and over. There is only our need to believe. Quick story. I'm in the sixth grade. I am a typical little fidgety guy that Mrs. Miller, my sixth grade teacher, made sit right in front of her desk. And I think that's so she could hit me with her pen. And as I was sitting there the last week of school, this is way back in the 60s. In fact, I want to say it was 64. It was the same year President Kennedy was assassinated. Is that 63? Okay, I'm getting a three. So, 63. I remember that because Mrs. Miller was a fun teacher. She knew how to make it fun. We laughed all the time, but she was also pretty high strung. And on the day that the president was shot, she lost it. News came over the intercom, and she had to leave the room. She spent the rest of the day in the teacher's lounge watching the TV cover. She couldn't handle it. She was crushed. And on the last week of school, all of the rooms were to send their leftover school supplies to the library to be stored for the summer. And so Mrs. Miller decided that she would give each of us an opportunity to carry some supplies down to the library. Oh, Stevie couldn't wait for his turn, because this meant I was free to roam an empty hallway. And so my day came, she calls me to her desk. And she has a couple of reams of paper, a couple of notebooks, and stacked on top, there is a little bottle of that black India ink. Remember that? And it came with a little rubber top and a little dauber thing inside. It wasn't a squeeze thing. It just, the ink filled the stick and you smeared it out and then you wrote through. Some of you are way ahead of me. I can tell by the look on your face. So while we're standing there and I'm waiting for her to fill out the paperwork, Stevie, who's fascinated by the India ink, is just pulling it out, putting it back, just playing. Now what Stevie didn't know and was soon to learn, as his shoulder was dislocated by dear Mrs. Miller, every time he pulled that ink out and put it back, she had a nice round drop on her brand new U.S. CAD's summer canvas sheet. Because she was sitting cross-legged at her desk, so her foot was out here, and Stevie was dropping ink on those brand new sheets. She saw that, and my high-strung teacher got more high-strung. I was put back in my seat, told to never move until my 50th birthday, and she was not happy. I went home, I told my folks, we got to buy Mrs. Miller a pair of shoes. My mother, known for her sarcasm, said, oh, and why would we have to do that? I said, well, you know, those little bottles of India ink. She said, I do not want to know this story. So a couple days later, we had a teacher's appreciation, end of school thing. All the parents came because it was the end of the sixth grade. In those days, we went on to junior high. Didn't have middle school. So this was it. We were leaving our elementary school. So all the parents came to thank Mrs. Mitchell. Well, the day after the incident, Mrs. Miller pulled me up to her desk to give me another chance. And what was sitting on top of my stack was the India ink. And I said, uh-oh. She said, got up out of her seat, hugged me, squeezed me, my shoulders. She said, I am so sorry for my reaction yesterday. Do you forgive me? Yes, ma'am. And I'm thinking, forgive you? I'm the guy that ruined your shoe. The next day, calls me to her desk, hugs me. Can you forgive me? I'm so sorry. Yes, ma'am. My parents come for parents' night. And my Mrs. Miller goes to my parents. I hope Steve can forgive me. And in front of my parents, can you forgive? Yes, ma'am. I want you to know I left sixth grade never knowing if Mrs. Miller believed I forgave her. I said, cute story, Steve. What's it got to do with me? Jesus keeps telling you you're forgiven. And some of you won't believe him. You won't just open your heart and say, yes, thank you. You keep beating yourself up because of a sin in your life. You keep beating yourself up, feeling unworthy of God's love. Of course we're unworthy of God's love. But He gives it anyway. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to run. You don't have to reject. Just believe what He's telling you. And be forgiven. Because the last point says, be a glorious homecoming awaits all who are saved. Joseph is hugging his brothers. He's kissing his brothers. He's telling them, go get Dad. Let me tell you, in heaven, there is a glorious homecoming waiting for all of us forgiven, waiting for all of us clothed in His righteousness, cleansed by His blood. There is a glorious time coming when God will receive us. We will see with our eyes what we've always believed with our heart. And we will know of His love in person. Our faith will be turned to reality. I don't want to be late for that party, do you? I don't want to miss that party. So open your hearts today. Let's pray. Father, we stand before You, recognizing we're broken, recognizing that we have sin in our life, recognizing for many weeks have locked You out of our life. And I pray that throughout this space today, we may indeed open our hearts we might truly believe what you have done for us. And forgiveness, grace, mercy might pour into our open hearts. Hold us close to you this morning. And may we know you as Savior and Lord, maybe for the very first time in this sacred place. It's in your name that we pray. And we pray as we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be our name. Our kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Is that a word you can take to the house? Amen. It is truth today. Our worship continues as we will receive our morning offering, an opportunity for you to give back to God as God has given to you, and to be a part of His powerful ministry through Hope on the Beach Church. So buckets are going to be passed by you, and we ask you to put your offering there. There's an envelope in your bulletin you can use, or also instructions how you can give online. Also, I'll call your attention one more time to your connection card and to the back of the card. This is where you can communicate with us. If you're making a commitment for the first time today, we'd love to know about that so we can pray with you and counsel you. If you have prayer requests, you can list them on your card. It also gives you our calendar of events, news of upcoming things you may want to be a part of. So after you have a moment to fill that card out, that and your envelope can be placed in the bucket, and we'll get them. A couple of things to notice. On December 2nd, we're going to decorate the church for Christmas. We need some able bodies. Or if you're not so able, we'll get you a chair. You can tell other people what to do. We got a spot for everybody. And lunch. That did it for me. Lunch. That's on the 2nd. Come help us if you can. We're going to start at 10:30. And then ladies, make note of the 9th. Our women's Advent dinner. And on the 7th, all families are invited to the birthday party for Jesus. All the details are there in your bulletin. Make note of those if you will. Let us take our offering, and then we will close our worship. Thank you.
Jesus, oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Do you believe it today? Sing it with me.
Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
As you go today, receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. And everybody said, amen. See you next week. If anybody wants to help us break down, that would be great. God bless you.